And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. You know what I've studied. You know, Lord, what I need to preach and what I need to say, and you know what your people need. And I pray, God, that as I preach today, that your power would be very evident, and you would give me your wisdom, and then I would say words, Lord, that only you want me to say. And God, that I would be obedient to your prompting, and then I would be sensitive to the moving and the direction of the Holy Spirit here for the next couple of minutes. God, give me the right words to say. Forgive me, Lord, of my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here this story of Jacob wrestling all night long. But I need to give you the backstory about this. Y'all ready for this? We're going to go through most of the book of Genesis. Y'all sure you ready for it? I'll do my best to sum it up. Long time before this night happened, there was a man named Isaac. And he is married to a pretty girl named Rebecca. And she got pregnant and had two babies in her womb. And they come out. One of them come out before the other one. One was named Esau, and the other one was named Jacob. And Esau and Jacob had a lifelong struggle from the very beginning, from the womb. They had a lifelong struggle. And all through their life, they were at odds with one another. No, Jacob, his name means supplanter, or someone who uses intellect to deceive. I ain't never been a Jacob. I ain't got that much intellect, y'all okay? I'm going to do my best to build this good platform, and then we'll jump off into the deep end here in a few minutes. But Jacob had heard from his mother that Esau was going to get the blessing from Isaac to lead the nation of Israel the rest of the time. And Rebekah went in and got her son and made him appear to be like Esau and deceived the father, Isaac, and Isaac blessed Jacob in Esau's place. And he got the blessing to carry the family on. I believe it was prior or after that, y'all have to forgive me, there was a time where Esau was hungry and he'd come in from the field. Jacob had food, and Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." And he was sitting there starving, and Esau said, "Man, I'm about to die for hunger, and you want my birthright? What good's that birthright going to do me?" And so he sold him his birthright. Now Jacob is the rightful heir to everything the father has. And so this friction is between them all their life, all their days. And eventually, it's time for Jacob to go find a wife. And Jacob leaves and goes and spends some time with his Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban was a pretty crafty man himself. That might have been where Jacob got that that intellect from. I'm not sure, his mama's side of the family. After all, in the Bible, wisdom is referred to as her. And so he's there on the in the plains, and he's working with Laban, and he sees this pretty girl, and her name's Rachel. And man, he's just got to marry Rachel. He's seen her, and He done got the butterflies fluttering in his gut, and he's got, man, I got to have her. I got to have Rachel. And so Laban says, hey, I'll tell you what, just work for me for, I believe it's 7 years, and I'll give you Rachel. And so 7 years went by like they had never happened, and they were just quick. And come to wedding night, and old Laban said, you know what, I can't let the pretty one go. I got to keep her around. And so he swapped them out for Leah. Y'all still with me, right? And while Leah was pretty and had wonderful qualities too, it wasn't the one that Jacob wanted. But he got duped. And so he ended up having Leah as his first wife. And he works for several more years, and God finally puts Rachel there with Jacob. And through Leah and Rachel, there are 12 children born. We know them now as the 12 tribes of Israel. And please forgive me, I don't have them all memorized, so I'm not going to try and name them all. You're welcome to go in there and study and dig and find out their names. And the Lord gives names, gives meanings with those names, and they're very important. So please study it, please learn. But that's not the point of today's message and what I want to preach on today. But Jacob has been gone for a long time out of Canaan. And now he's coming back to Canaan. He's coming back to where he had left to go find him a wife. And this time he's got all them kids. Now, even by yesteryear's standards, 12 is a lot of babies. Amen? And he's got all different ages. Sometimes when I read about the 12 tribes of Israel, I liken it to my family, the Agin family. There were 12 of them that were born to my grandparents, and I'm thankful that they didn't name them some of them names, amen. But I think about my dad's brothers and sisters, and my dad was the baby of that family, and I just relate that in my mind, and I correlate that. And there's a lot of babies, so man, we'd have family gatherings, and when I was a little boy, Brother Daniel, there'd be I believe there's 31 grandchildren. I'm the baby of 31 grandchildren, and there'd be a slew of people. I mean, like 70, 80 people for a family gathering. We just had this big old thing, and we'd meet around Mama and Papa's house, and so I relate in my mind how it must have been for Jacob and Leah and Rachel as they watched all them babies, and all them babies have babies, and all them babies have babies, and all them babies begin to have babies, and all of a sudden Jacob, the head of the household, the head of the family now, says, you know what, it's time for me to leave Laban, because God's been real good to me, he's blessed me real good, he's given me a bunch, and it's time for me to go on back home to Canaan. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 1 of Genesis 32 that some angels met him on his way. I believe that the Lord was pleased with Jacob going out of Laban's control and back over into the promised land where he was supposed to be and where he will spend his days up until Joseph is born. And out of Joseph being sold into slavery, you guys know that story, God sends them down into Egypt and preserves them in Egypt, and then all of that begins to happen, all the story of Israel, and we're not going into all of that this morning, but because of the friction and the trouble that was going on earlier in life between Jacob and Esau, we find that Jacob is afraid to go back home. He's been gone for a long time, and really Esau wasn't even in the land. He was just near the land. Jacob didn't even have to actually go through Esau's land, but he knew he would be getting close to Esau's land, so he said, I better make sure that I do this right. And you can read it here in chapter number 32, how that Jacob begins to break up his family, and he breaks them up in two bands, and then he creates droves inside those bands, and he sends gifts, and he sends sort of an annunciation before him that he's coming, and he's looking for God to make it easy when he meets up with Jacob. And so he's making it easy when he meets up with Esau. And so he's going over, he's got the children going over, and the Bible says in verse number 9 that Jacob prayed because he was afraid. And matter of fact, in verse 7, he said, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels in two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape. So now he's not trying to trick his brother. He's not trying to get anything out of him. Now he's got all them babies to worry about, and he's trying to make sure through his intellect that he preserves what God has blessed. And so he does a wise thing. He prays. I want to read his prayer. It's just a few verses long. The Bible says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. Interesting that he didn't mention Ishmael. The Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy. Listen to this prayer that he's praying. I am not worthy of the least of all these mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he's reinforcing to God the words that God had said to him. I'd submit to you this morning that the best way you can pray is to remind God, rather, if I can use that term, of the promises that he has already made to you. See, we like to craft our prayers and make them fancified and nice and put a lot of flowery language in them. God's not looking for that. God's looking for your honesty. God's looking for your openness. God's looking for your pliability. God's looking for you to say, I don't know what to say. I know what you told me to do. I know where you told me to go. But if it's going to happen, God, you've got to be the one to bring it to pass. We start to pray and we think we've got to figure out what direction God wants us to go and how God wants us to act, when actually God's already designed the way. He's already got it there. God already knows what God wants us to do. We've just got to be obedient to God to do the things that God wants us to do. And so the Bible tells us here that he lodged there that same night, and he sends the present from his hand to Esau, and he sends him, the Bible says in verse 14, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams and 30 milk camels and their colts and 40 kine and 10 bulls and 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and ask thee, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then shalt thou say, they are thy servant; they be thy servants, Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. So now the language has changed. It's not just his brother Esau, but now he's calling him his lord. I am the servant; he is the lord. He's put himself in a non-offensive position in order to make amends with this long-lost estranged brother. There's some incredible things going on here, y'all. And I hope that I'm painting the picture good enough. So, he sent him up. Verse 22 says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. By the way, 11 there because number 12 has not been born yet. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And it comes to that incredible verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone. All right, preacher, what are we looking at here this morning? Sometimes, and we're about to preach on this, sometimes you got to get to a mighty lonely place before God will come meet with you. Amen? There's a whole lot of people that think God only meets with us when we're in the church house. Think that God only can meet with us when we're gathered together. And we even quote scripture, where two or more are gathered, there He is in our midst. Did you know something? God is always there. He is what we call omnipresent. Amen. That means He is present everywhere at every place. Amen. You go back in your mind and you find your first birthday. You don't remember it, but you may have seen pictures. God was there. Amen. When your mama and daddy got together to create you and allow God to work in your mother's womb, God was there. Amen. When you come up about 5 years old and you thought you knew everything at 5 years old, God was there. Yeah. When you got behind the wheel of that car at 16 and you thought you understood everything about how the world operated, God was there. When you got up in your 20s and you thought that you knew everything about everything there was to ever to know and you figured out that you didn't when you turned 24, somebody say amen right there. Amen. God was there. You got on up into your 30s and you realize what raising babies was all about and you realize that you didn't know near as much as you thought you did in your 20s. Hey, man, y'all learning a lot right now, ain't you? We learn all kinds of things. But you know who's there? God. You suffered and go through some hard times and you face some difficult storms and the winds of adversity blow and the rains fall and the thunder crashes and the lightning strikes and you feel all alone and you don't know what's going on in your life. God is there. The Bible tells us in the book of Nahum that He hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Thank God it takes those lonely, destitute times when we are away from our family. Amen. He done sent Mama 1 and Mama 2 across the other side. Y'all okay? He done sent them babies over to the other side. He done sent all of His pride and joy and all of His finances. They're on the other side. They're going to meet their fate in His mind. And old Jacob is there left alone. And it's just him all by himself. My mama would say, and she's listening right now, but my mama would say, he is left by his little lonesome. He's just there by himself. And there wasn't nobody there seemingly with him. Everything he loved had done been pushed away. Everything that was dear to him had done been sent on. And as far as he knew about Esau, he had sent them to their death. Here's the mindset that Jacob was in. He is truly all alone, or so he thinks. But the Bible tells us something unique after he says he was left all alone in verse number 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that this was one of two things. They believe that it was either the archangel Michael, or they believe that it was the presence of an angel, which is noted in the book of Isaiah, where Jesus appeared in a Christophany in the Old Testament, or a picture or a showing of Christ in the Old Testament before Christ was born in the New Testament. That's what is the two belief systems there. I don't know which one it was, but I know that it was God working. So I don't pretend to have that kind of intellect about me and tell you that I know everything about this blessed old book. But I do know that God used one of His servants, one of His messengers, or I'd rather believe it was God Himself. Well, back that up with Scripture. Give me just a few minutes. And so the Bible says there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So here is Jacob. He's left alone. Everything he loves has been sent ahead of him. Everything he holds dear is gone away from him. And he doesn't have anything. His mind is in a place where he is all alone. And in the midst of that loneliness, somebody's fighting him. Y'all all right? It doesn't say, like Elijah, you know, the Bible says about Elijah that God sent the ravens and the angel to give him food and to comfort him. Here, old Jacob is alone and he's fighting. So in the midst of his loneliness, he's having to fight. Not only are we seeing a psychological and a spiritual warfare, but a physical warfare. His physical body is facing a troublesome time along with the psychological and the spiritual and the emotional distress that he is under. And yet old Jacob fights on. He's wrestling with this man that is sent from God, as the Bible describes it. And the Bible says in verse number 25, and it's speaking of the man wrestling with Jacob, that he prevailed not against him, that he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So not only is he lonely, not only is he worried about his family, not only is he suffering greatly, not only is he wrestling with God, but now he's enduring physical, literal pain as he wrestles with God. Let me say this. If you don't believe that spiritual warfare includes physical pain, you have not lived the Christian life long enough. It'll come. It might be a broken heart. It might be a broken leg. One thing I noticed when I was growing up, all the great preachers, the ones that I regarded as great preachers, it was incredible. They were all seemingly small and insignificant men that nobody else knew. But they changed my life. Didn't nobody know who Jacob was back in those days. But he was wrestling with God. God touched the hollow of his thigh because he wasn't prevailing against him. Now, does that mean that the angel of the Lord could not prevail against Jacob? No, absolutely not. All he had to do was speak the word. But what it does mean is that God was showing him that there's something great going to come out of some suffering. So he gets that going. Verse number 26 says, and he said, let me go. The angel speaking to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. Does that mean he was scared to see daylight? No, it wasn't because he was scared to see daylight. It's because this thing had been going on all night long. In the midst of the loneliness, in the midst of the heartbreak, in the midst of this pain, this was something that was happening all night long. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What kind of joy could we possibly get out of this? I mean, why in the world is God allowing this to happen? And watch what Jacob says. Now, Jacob had the intellect that I don't have, and Jacob had the willingness to wrestle against God. Watch what he says in the middle of this loneliness. I will not, verse number 26, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Preacher, what has that got to do with that, with me? See, I done preached to you this morning. I can tell by the looks on your faces as I'm going around the room. You're in the midst of the loneliness. You're in the midst of the heartache. You're in the midst of the emotional distress and the maybe even financial distress. You're in the middle of spiritual distress. You're in the middle of physical pain. You've been wrestling with this thing all night long. And the easy thing to do would just be quit wrestling. But day's breaking. And in the midst of your troubles and your trials, there's a blessing. just a little while away. Y'all okay? Y'all nod at me if I'm making sense to you. There's a blessing just a little while. You've been suffering all night long and it's dark. Come on. You know what happens right before daylight? The darkest hour is just before dawn. Yesterday morning, I got myself up out of bed. Y'all know I can't run without talking about it. Amen. Got up 4:30 in the morning, and I was running around 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was dark out there, and I had my headlamp on. I had a buddy with me, and thank God we was running. We was having ourselves a good time, but I thought about this passage of Scripture. Here it is. Day is about to break, and man, it's dark. We got up, ran down through. If you know anything about the city of Carrollton, we're running down through the city of Carrollton, we go to a place called Hobbs Farm, and we run around Hobbs Farm Loop, and we come up out of that, man, it's dark back there, you hear things, I'm pretty sure I heard a deer snort at me, that's all right, as long as it ain't one of them bucks fishing to charge me, amen, say amen right there, Keith, amen, we okay, you in me, right, and so I heard that, and I just kept running, and we got around the lake shore, to the lake shore park. It's a pretty little park down there, you ought to go check it out sometime, and I got down there at lake shore, and as we come up the hill off of Stewart Street going up to lake shore, you know what was coming up over the lake there, Brother Dorsey, the sun was coming up, amen, and praise God, I got to watch the sun rise up over that lake. Man, it was pretty, and God painted some beautiful colors, and I thank God for what He did, but I thought, man, I just run a physically distressing time through the dark of the night, and now the sun is beginning to rise, and the rest of the time that I'm out here on this tough run, it's going to be daylight. I'm going to have blessings. I'm going to have what God wants me to have. Glory to God. Here He is. It's right at daylight, and He says, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I would to God that some of you would get a hold of that promise this morning and say, I'm not going to give up praying until God blesses me. Y'all right? Did you know that it's okay to pray and ask God to bless you? Did you know that? It doesn't mean that you're super spiritual if you never pray for God to bless you and protect you. That's called false humility. Amen. Whoop. Well, I don't ever pray for myself, preacher, because it's just conceited to pray for yourself. I'll hogwash. If that's what you tell your mind to make you feel good about praying, that's hogwash. That's all that is. Can I use the words of my former pastor, Brother Carroll? Baloney. Yeah. Amen. I'm not sure where it is that we have this mindset that we can't ask God. You go back and read that prayer. God, You told me what to do. God, You told me where to go. God, You told me what I should say. Now You're going to have to make it happen because I am afraid. He says, I ain't got my blessing yet, so I'm going to hold on to you till you bless me. An angel says something incredible. What is your name? Do y'all really think he didn't know his name?
Right.
I ain't never gotten a fight with somebody I didn't know their name. He knew his name, but he needed him to say it back to him. Because see, at the beginning of this thing, I told you that Jacob means a supplanter or one who deceives or tricks, and he uses his intellect to do it. Well, now God's disarmed him of his intellect, and He's just got him in a good old-fashioned brawl. Oh, yeah, God will disarm you of your strengths. If it means that you'll get humble enough to ask Him for what you need. He'll take it away from you if it means that that's what He needs to get you to listen to Him. And so here he is. He's been disarmed of his strength. And he's in the brawl with this one. He says, what is your name? And as he says, what is your name to him? He says, my name's Jacob. And I've been a liar all my life. Jacob been a liar all his life. God's wrestling with a liar. God wanted to use that liar. Y'all with me? God's wanting to use that liar. God's wanting to work with that liar. Some of you have been caught up in something all your life and you're wondering how in the world you're going to get out of it. Maybe you need to spend the night alone with Him. And not let Him go until He blesses you. So what's the blessing, preacher? What kind of blessing did God give Jacob? Well, let's take a look here in verse number 28. And He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." God took this liar and made him a prince with God. You go back and study the life of Jacob and you will find that he used his intellect and his favor of God to get some over on Laban, who had got a couple over on him too. Y'all remember that? I want you to take a stick and cut rings in it, in the bark, and lay it in the water. And when they go to drink, them goats is going to conceive and they're going to be ring straight. And he said, some of y'all looking at me like you ain't never read that out of the Bible. He said, "I want you to peel some streaks in it and I want you to lay it in the water. And every one of them, those goats that go up there and they drink out of that water, what's going to happen to them when the cattle drinks that? They're going to be streaked." Go read it. "I want you to take a stick and cut little notches in it and lay it in the water. And every one of them that drink out of that, when they conceive, they're going to bring forth speckled." And so he used that. God built his wealth through his intellect. It's incredible, isn't it? Now here he is, robbed of that intellect, and he goes from being a liar and being a deceiver to being a prince with God. God took away the false nobility and gave him actual honor. And it come out of a night's long struggle. It come out of the dark of night. It come out of the destitute place that he had found him in and found himself in. It came from a place where he did not think he would survive. But now God has changed him into Israel, a prince, as thou hast power with God and with men. So not only does he just have power with men, but now he's got power, the power of God on his life. Because he spent that lonely night in prayer. And Jacob called on the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Oh, y'all thought I forgot about that part, didn't you? And he halted upon his thigh. Brother Roy, you couldn't have picked a better song to sing right before I preached. You talk about shouting. I about ran three laps when the music started, because I love seeing God work about ways that I ain't even told Miss Tara what I've been studying on this week. I ain't told nobody. I ain't told a soul. But you know what happened to Jacob after he spent that lonely night in prayer wrestling with God? God touched the hollow of his thigh. And the Bible says that when he come out of it after the sun had rose, that he halted. He was walking like this before he went in there. But after that night, he walked like this. He was forever changed. Amen. Brother Billy. Y'all letting on like that ain't too good. Can you see him? Here he is. Them little mamas have carried them babies over on the other side. They're in Esau's presence, and Esau's taking good care of them. Thank God. You go ahead and read the next chapter. You'll find out that God had done worked it out. And they look over in the sunrise that next morning. And coming up over the horizon, they don't see the silhouette of Daddy walking straight no more, but they see the silhouette of somebody that's got the mark of God on their life. Amen? He's dragging one little old leg, and forever, the rest of his life and the rest of Israel, they remember that Jacob got along with God. And he was physically forever changed as he halted upon his thigh. But it come out of a night's long struggle with God. Son, That might not help you, but it sure helped me. I'm so glad that the midnight struggles that I go through with God and the times that I've wrestled with God, He's never left me nor forsook me. He's never walked away from me. And when I've held on, He's always blessed me. Thank God that we serve a God who will bring us through the night hour and allow us to walk in the morning. Your walk might be a little different once you spend a night with God. Amen? You might not walk as good as you used to once you spend... You'll be more dependent upon God than you will be on your own two legs. Amen? You'll be a whole lot more dependent when your leg is halting behind you and you can't seem to get the thing going. But every step you take, you remember that you spent some time with God and God changed your life for the good and made you into what you are now. And for the rest of his life, he was known as the Prince of God who walked with a limp. What is it you need? You need a night alone just between you and God? You need God to change your walk? Put a reminder in your physical body? Can we talk about this? There are different types of marks left physically. If you go all the way back to Cain and Abel, we find that Cain murdered Abel. And God did something to Cain. What did he do? He put a mark on him. And everybody knew you didn't touch Cain because of the mark. But with Jacob, he put a mark on him to let him know that you can come walk alongside of him. Amen? Can you imagine that? Reuben was the firstborn. Jacob called him unstable as water at Jacob's death. Can you imagine Reuben seeing Daddy? And he's got a different lean. Maybe put his hand over his brow and he looked over across that line and maybe Leah said, "No, that's not your daddy. I know how your daddy walks. We've seen your daddy walk all of his life. That's not how you. Is it your daddy? He's waving at us. Oh Lord, he's waving like Jacob. That's not you. Rachel. Reuben's standing in the middle. Rachel comes over there. She looks. I don't know. I ain't never seen him walk like that. Ooh, he's waving like Jacob. I remember that wave. Reuben says, "That's Daddy. Just his walk's different now." He'd been changed. God must have got a hold of him. God must have done something to him. God must have changed him forever. Wouldn't it be something if God changed some of you forever today? Made you where you didn't walk like you used to walk. You didn't talk like you used to talk. You didn't say what you used to say. You didn't play with the things that you used to play with. You just spent some time alone just between you and God and got some things right. God blesses you and your whole family sees what God done. Father, in Jesus' holy name, you've heard what I've preached. And Lord, I believe that you gave me this message to carry to your people. And Lord, with excitement and enthusiasm, I've done my best to deliver your word and what you said through the message this morning. God, I pray that your power would be very evident and very real, and that you would move today. I pray, Lord, that you would help people come and find that you are a very present help in their time of need. God, I pray that you would work. Lord, grant it to be. Father, in Jesus' name I ask. Would you stand with us this morning while we sing?